But we used very little outside reading in addition to that anthology. And in the early days, we still had a common exam, which in a way was unfortunate, because if you are concentrating on writing, which we were, to have an exam that was a common exam based on the reading materials, that counted 50% of your grade, accounted 50% of the grade, left very little room for the individual teacher and the impact of teaching, I mean of writing on the, but then it changed. It changed in the late 60s as a result of student rebellion.
You saw direct cause and effect.
Oh yeah, oh well, the large every university in the country saw, And then we went off into all different areas, and instructors were allowed much greater freedom in choosing what, and the instructor was given the full power of grade giving, which is where it belongs.
That had been lacking before.
Well, because 50% of the grade automatically was that common exam. So the instructor had just a minimal impact, really, I think, which is unfortunate.
Were there any areas of your own research and scholarly interest that you incorporated in the in those years and in the
into 70s? The teaching?
In the yes, that you developed an interest.
Well, I did. I'm trying to think, because most of my research and most of my writing was done. It was sort of parallel, but outside the course we were teaching. It all had to do with American studies in one way or another. But it wasn't directly related to what I... For instance, the book that, that I wrote together with Jerry Thornton, A Populist Assault, Sarah E. Vandervoort Emery on American Democracy, 1862-1895. I never even mentioned her in my class, although one quarter I did use it, because it fitted into the my concept of the way I set up the class. I always tried to change. Every year I changed a good part of my syllabus just to gratify myself.
How did students respond to the text?
They didn't like it. No, they didn't like it. They thought it was too boring. They wanted to read some light novel that they could be entertained by.
Did you find that any of your in this text, did you find your training as an economist helped you at all in understanding her ideas? Or
well, that's one reason I got. I'm not an economist.
Well,
it was economic history,
history,
which is
right.
and any economist would tell you that's not being an economist.
That's true.
So I yes, because she was a populist and she was mainly concerned with the economy. And she was a monetarist, an early monetarist. And of course, Milton Friedman, the great modern contemporary, and I use great in quotation marks, economist, looked to the populist, and he recognized them and acknowledged them as the source of his whole monetarist theory. So that, yes, my background in economic history helped me very much in understanding what she was writing, why she was writing it, and what the implications of her writings were.
How did you first get interested in her?
Well, it was an interesting thing. When Bessie Hall went up and we got offices, many of us still shared an office. Now, if you can picture our tiny offices with two people in it, the person that I had as my office mate was Jerry Thornton. And we, instead of killing each other off, we helped each other, discussed on what we were working on, etc. And Jerry retired long before I did. And she belonged to the Unitarian Church. And she had found in the church the records of this woman, Sarah E. Vandervoort Emery, who whose papers were in the church archives. And she said, Pauline, I'd like to work, I said, on this woman. I said, great, why don't you do that? You're retired, now you can do it. And she started. And then she called me and she said, look, there's too much economics here. I need some help. And Jerry and I had complementary minds. I had a more logical, organized mind. She had a poetic mind and very imaginative. And we worked very well together. As a matter of fact, we collaborated on many different articles together. And so she wanted me to join her to work on all the different writings of this woman. And I could only work with her in the summer because during the academic year, what with all the paper grading and everything else, and having a life beyond Michigan State as well, I only worked in the summer. So it took us a long time working on that. I think we worked on that for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. But that certainly helped me. But then we did a lot of other things. For instance, Jerry was so taken with our experience as collaborators that she wanted to do something on collaboration. And we did some research on collaboration as a style of doing research and writing, and interviewed lots of people on that. And we did a couple of articles on that. And I was interested in other things that we worked on together. And I also worked with John Apple. We did a couple of things. And I worked with Marilyn Culpepper. We gave joint papers at various meetings. So that it was all some way related to the course, related to American studies, but Neth didn't get into the course that I taught, mm-hmm. If I make that distinction.
I see. I understand. This issue of collaboration, I think, is a key one. Scholars working together. I mean,
interesting.
It goes against the grain of the perception of the solitary scholar from Ivory Tower. And also looking at your husband's writings.
He does a lot of
collaboration. I think that's an important, maybe important thread that maybe some people haven't looked at. In terms of the actual collaboration that you did with Jerry Thornton and Marilyn Culpepper and others, looking at the writing process that as you did that, how did one person, was one person responsible for a first draft, or how did you organize that?
Well, actually, that's the question that's always asked of a collaborator, isn't it? Like, who wrote what and how did you do it? Mm-hmm. My personal experience with my three collaborators, John Apple, Marilyn Culpepper, and Jerry Thornton, each experience was completely different from the other. And the process was different. Mm-hmm. When we were gathering material for the little article that Jerry and I wrote on collaboration, and I interviewed many people from different disciplines, each person's experience and attitude was different. But what we discovered as we wrote, if I remember correctly, in that article, is that the discipline they came from also had an impact on the experience. For instance, we found people from the English department thought that collaborate writing was sort of dishonest. That if they didn't do it themselves, if they didn't write alone, that it really wasn't a true form of research and accomplishment. They had to do it themselves. People in the sciences said they always wrote in collaboration, and that if you pick up a scientific article, you see a whole host of authors of that article. In the social sciences, there was increasing emphasis on collaboration because of, as in the sciences, increasing specialization, so that no one person could really cover different aspects of a topic because they were so highly specialized, the individual. on a personal level, the experience was very different, too. Some people never saw their collaborators. The publishers would put together a group asking people, hiring people from their various parts of the country to work on a text for such and such. And some of them never met their collaborators at all. And they were just given an assignment by a publishing house. Mm-hmm. And that was their contribution to that text. So the experience was so varied and brought with it varying forms of gratification. Some loved the experience and it was very meaningful to them on a personal level, aside from the scholarly level. And others disliked it immensely.
Mm-hmm. What did you work on with John Apple?
Yes, it was a review article of immigrant tapes. And we did it for some publication that dealt with immigration, the history of immigration. And we would listen to these tapes together. And then, I can't remember exactly, one of us would write up what we heard, our reaction to it and a summary of it, and then give it to the other. And then that person would edit it or change it, and then it would go back to the original writer and then become part of them. That's what we did. We did two articles.
The tapes were immigrants' own experiences?
It was oral history, oral histories of immigrants who came over from all over the world.
I see.
Yeah, and under all different circumstances.
And with Marilyn Culpepper, your...
Marilyn Culpepper, I did several things on. We did something on oral history. We did interviewing older women in their 80s in the area.
Was there a topical focus of that?
Well, you know, the way I like to work in oral history may be against the form because it's a little undisciplined. I'd like to have a series of questions that I ask them. But if the interviewee starts taking off on a train of thought, I just let them go. Mm-hmm. I don't restrict them. So it's more difficult to write it up. Because you can't say, well, 3 people said this and 10 people said that and whatever. But we did some oral history together. We also did an article on diaries and letters from the Civil War. And particularly, we did one article on nurses and nursing during the Civil War, based on these letters. And we also did a couple of articles on diaries of women that we got from the state archives, and we compared and contrasted them. One was a school teacher, another was a woman who worked in Lansing in a bakery in the latter part of the 19th century, post-Civil War period. I mean, that's what we worked on, and other things as well. And with that's it, essentially.
The poetry that Jerry Thornton, did you write any poetry with her?
She was the poet. Mm-hmm. I did work with her. We wrote a very interesting article on her grandfather, who was an original homesteader in Minnesota. And he wrote for that local newspaper that was put out in the latter part of the 19th century. And we went over all the articles from the newspaper, and we did an article on that. And I worked with her on that. It was very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did a lot of things together on the way, and I frankly can't remember them. I don't remember. I should have my bibliography here, or my vita.
Let's see. I guess I answered a lot of my questions. All right. We turn the page a little bit toward talking about some of the presidents that you worked with, and I also want to talk a little bit about the experience that you had when your husband was president of the university. But You remember any of your first contact with John Hanna?
Well, yes. The university was much smaller when we came. And every year, at the beginning of the academic year, Hanna would have a reception for the faculty at the Union Building. And he would stand in a receiving line and welcome each person in the faculty. He took a very personal interest in those early days of his faculty members. And that was the first time I met him. We arrived near the end of August, and in September was that